All right, hello and welcome to Stoney's Witchy Place on Block Talk Radio. That amazing opening audio is called Erotius Chant, performed by Ross Marinus. If you like what you hear, go look it up. Erotius Chant by Ross Marinus. The full chant is incredible and chilling. Wonderful, wonderful woman that I am honored to call sister. Go check her out. And now, let's walk into Stoney's Witchy Place and get this episode started. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Stoney's Witchy Place, our full moon episode. Tonight's full moon has a whole lot of different names. I think in the last day or two, I've probably seen, seven or eight different names for it. I'm just going to call it a harvest moon. It is that time of the year. Time to get out there and start reaping what we've sown in our gardens. More ways than one. If you want to call in, I don't see anybody listening. But if you want to call in, 657-383-0216. And you can call in, give your opinion on tonight's topic. You can go to the website and use the chat, enter in your questions there. I hope we have some good discussion. Now, the basic topic is going to be the business of paganism. I was going to call it the business of witchcraft, but I didn't want to leave anybody out because there's a lot of people out there that are making their way and filling their wallet. They're not all witches. I know in various groups of folks, they call themselves shamanic practitioners. It's big business. They're making a lot of money providing services that in traditional tribal cultures, the medicine person or the shaman would provide. Now, the big issue behind, well, not issue, the big debate behind this topic is charging a fee provides spiritual, metaphysical, magical type services or products. I have my own opinion on the issue. I'm more than welcome to listen to other people's point of view. I'm even open to changing or at least altering my own opinion based on what I might learn from you guys. I suppose the biggest thing, the biggest common discussion that I see around this topic is the issue of money. In traditional societies, traditional tribal societies where we would have a shaman, or we would have a village witch, or we would have a spiritual healer or medicine person, the form of payment was the tribe taking care of that person's needs for living. And I'm not talking about an extravagant, Joel Osteen type living where the churchgoers have funded his multi-million dollar home. I'm talking about the necessities, the food, the shelter, the caregiving of that individual as a member of that community. That was traditional. That was their payment for the services that they provided, was their community took care of them. In today's world, in our extremely I don't know what you would call it, our very mixed cultures, the exchange of money or exchange of energies is done via money, cash. Now, this is where I get into trouble with my opinion on the whole thing. A lot of people tell me that by paying money for a service, it is an exchange of energy, because energy was put into the earning of that money that I am giving to you for the services rendered. Here's the big difference that people aren't understanding, at least from my point of view, from the old way of exchanging something for services and money. First of all, the energy that I'm putting into the money that is in my pocket is not directed towards what I am getting from you. It's directed toward putting money in my pocket in order to apply for whatever needs or wants I may have. My energy is not directed to the provider of the service. In the old ways, you would provide me with a service or vice versa, a healing, a spiritual operation, if you will, of some sort. And either I or my family would provide you with tobacco, a basket of bread or freshly harvested fruits, the leg from our leg, the animal we got on our last hunt. Now, it is true that the energy that was put into that harvest or getting that animal or procuring the tobacco was not directed towards the provider's benefit at the time. But the difference is the energy that we put into that harvest, we are now passing along to you for your benefit. Excuse me. I got my paycheck. I cashed it. I put the money in my pocket. I see somebody that is doing, Reiki, for example. And I've bought my groceries. I've taken care of my family. I've done what I need to do. And I've got the $50 or the $100. And I want to have a Reiki session. So I give you that. There's not that intimate connection in the vessel of energy transfer. It's kind of hard to explain, but I think by exchanging money for these services, we have taken away our personal investment on a level beyond the inherent value that we provide. You know, it's kind of difficult to explain, but to me, paying cash for these kinds of services is not the same as an exchange of energy that we have invested ourselves in exchange for the services. If that doesn't make sense to you, I don't know what to tell you. It makes sense in my head. It's just very difficult for me to articulate sometimes. Now, the flip side of this is I am not, absolutely not, saying that if you are a provider of services, Reiki, tarot card readings, healing spells, whatever that service may be, I am not saying that you are wrong. Back this up. I'm not saying that you can't charge a fee. This is not my position. I'm not saying that at all. People need to make a living. if the current method of exchange is to pay dollar bills for the service you provide, and those dollar bills allow you to provide for yourself, by all means, go for it. I'm not saying don't do that. It's wrong. I'm not saying that at all. What I am saying is that from the point of view of the person being helped by the services you provide, they are not as invested in your well-being for the service that you have provided to them. I don't know if any of this is making sense. And there is nobody online listening. Nobody's called in. Nobody's in chat. So I'm going to continue to struggle to try and define this point. But if you're a provider of these services, absolutely, you should rewarded, remunerated, paid for the services that you provide. Now, this is when we get into the splitting of hairs part of this discussion. To me, if I am providing a service like a tarot reading or a spiritual healing, that is a valued service akin to me having a job that provides you with a service. If a plumber comes to your house and they fix your pipes, they're probably not going to be satisfied with a loaf of fresh baked bread and a chicken. I get that. They're going to be satisfied when you pay that $297 bill in cash. All right. The problem there is in those situations, it is that person's full-time profession. They rely on their particular, perhaps unique skill set in order to provide for themselves and their family. Much like the healers back in the day relied on that. But the provision back in the day was not you giving them something and then they in turn give it to someone else in order to acquire what they need to take care of their family. You are giving them what they need to take care of their family directly. There's more of a personal investment. It's a relationship. I guess that's what I'm after here. There's no relationship in the commercialization of magical services being provided. If you have a customer that comes to you time and time and time again, as I know many tarot readers do, you can develop that relationship over time. Or if you are a professional counselor, you're going to develop that relationship over time as you get to know this person. Once you get to know this person and they obviously have become comfortable with the services that you're providing because they keep coming back, then their personal investment in the money that they're paying to you has a more distinct impact on both them and you. See what I'm saying? It's like I'm giving up this thing of mine gladly, more willingly to you specifically for the service that you're providing me, as opposed to, you know, oh, wow, look, there's somebody doing palm reading. I got 10 bucks. Sure. There's no investment in that. It's a kick. You know, people buy these services all the time, just on a moment's notice, on a whim. And it usually is not, they're not much more invested in it than they than what they pay to have Netflix for a month so that they're entertained. They're not invested in your well-being. They're not interested in what you're going to do with the money they have given you. They don't care if it's going to pay for groceries for a week, because they have no idea if you're starving to death or not. You're there providing a service. You're just some person that hung a shingle out. That's where I get into this issue of paying and charging for spiritual services. Now, we go way beyond that when we look around and we see the various pagan and occult shops. And I have friends that own these shops, friends that work in these shops. And then we have the authors who provide us with knowledge and information on various paths, methods of working in a particular genre of magic, et cetera, et cetera. All right. They have invested themselves heavily in providing a resource of products and information. They should be rewarded for that. They should be paid for that. But again, there isn't always that personal relationship. There is not that personal investment. I'm buying this book. The money goes from, you know, the kid at the store, to the owner at the store, to the book distributor, to the wholesale jobber, to the publisher, and finally a couple of pennies out of that $42 get to the authors. Let me tell you, the authors aren't making bank. You need to appreciate the work that they put in, and they are not making bank, okay? But there's no personal investment in that provider's well-being when I do that. When I buy, let's say, for instance, one of the books written by Byron Ballard, my favorite Appalachian witch. If I could buy that directly from her as easily as I could walk into a store and say, oh, there it is, and pick it up and pay at the counter, I would do so. Here's the difference. When I get that tome of knowledge directly from Byron and give my money directly to Byron, I am personally invested in her well-being. When I go to Barnes & Noble and I pick up a book, I am not personally invested in that author's well-being. I hope that makes sense to you. Same with the store owners. The store owners, they're providing us with a valuable resource. Sometimes we're talking about hard-to-find items, even specialty order items. When I go to that store and buy an item, I am not personally invested in the well-being of the person that created that item originally. I am personally invested. Okay, buy guest 1229. I am personally invested in the well-being of that shop owner. They're not making bank either. Okay, they're taking their little bit of profit off the top, and they're passing it on down the line, distributor, wholesaler, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And very far down the line, the person who actually created the item gets their few pennies. All right. If you're an author or you are a creator of magical items that are going out through commercial outlets, retail, et cetera, you are dependent on volume for the vast majority of your income. Talk about some heavy duty pressure. You guys need to respect that. So the one thing that I think sparked this topic for me. Now, I've had this in my head for decades. I've never charged for providing a service, but I'm very careful about who I will work with. I have never charged for teaching a class, but I do allow whoever is bringing me in to teach this class to charge or ask for donations, none of which I take. It's just a personal thing for me. But the thing that really kicked this off for me to make it a topic on this episode was something I saw about being taught the degrees of a witch tradition. Now, I won't get into details about who did it or what or why, but this person was providing distance training, not even hands-on, so there's no personal investment face-to-face with you. Distance training for degrees in a tradition for a monthly fee. And the training was for a year for each degree because, you know, we are told to we're brought to understand that degrees in the various traditions as we know them are a year and a day. Well, that person has this income promised to them every month for a year. But should we be charging people, whether it's money or the necessities of life, should we be charging people in order to provide them with advancement training? I am going to provide you with this training, and if you can prove yourself that you understand what you've been taught, that you can learn to operate what I've shown you, then you become eligible for advancement to the next degree. I have a real problem with charging people for that. These are people that are spiritual seekers. They are trying to find their way, and your particular tradition has piqued their interest, and the introductory information that was provided to them has spoken to them in such a way that they think this is the path they should take. So they want to learn this. They want to pursue this and learn what you have to offer and advance in the tradition degrees that you provide. It's kind of a catch-22. If they invest in it monetarily, they're more likely to keep going, but they are also showing, I suppose, their belief in you by giving you this monthly payment. The problem with the first one, they can get everything that you're going to offer them that is not unique to your tradition or secret to your tradition from a couple of $14.99 books. It's going to be dressed different. It's going to be presented as yours. Your monthly fee or quarterly fee or whatever is double or 10 times or 25 times what it would cost them to get the same information from a couple of good books. I have a real problem with that. The other problem, the second half, is they're willing to do this. They're willing to invest in this because whatever it was about your tradition that spoke to them, what really sold it is their belief in you. Well, I'm sorry, but if people are giving you money to be taught by you because they believe in you, then you're a guru. And we all know what gurus are. That dude that ran the so-called Native American sweat down in, where was it? Arizona, I think, where those people died, and he charged thousands of dollars for people to participate. That's a guru. All right. People were paying to participate in that, not only because they were interested in the offering that was made, but they had faith in that individual. That's why they were willing to invest their money. They weren't investing their money because they believed in the path and the enlightenment that they believed would come from the path. They were investing their money because the individual that was offering this to them was what they believed in. I don't want you to believe in me. I want you to believe in yourself, and I want you to believe in the information that I can give to you. Does that make sense? That's where I draw the line. If a person is being charged in order to be instructed on a particular path and achieve points of advancement, like degrees, that's where I draw the line. That's absolutely, in my book, wrong. If you want to have a class and teach people about a specific methodology, let's say making poppets, and you want to charge for that, fine, go ahead, charge for that. You know, you have to cover your time, you have to cover your investment in material, et cetera, et cetera. That has value, and these people in our much, I don't know what to call it anymore, the mud hole that we call modern society, are not your tribe. They're not invested in your welfare. So the best thing to do is exchange money in order for the information that you're providing. If you want to teach these kinds of classes, that's fine, because it's not a step in a series towards promised enlightenment or a promised title or degree in a tradition. This is kind of where I'm going with this whole thing. If you are going to provide a spiritual service or a spiritual product, and there's no tribal connection, no investment between you and the person that you're providing it to or from them to you, then by and large, do so. Our modern society, this is our means of exchange and support. Cash. Everybody knows I'm a big pusher of barter trade, you know, shared skill, etc. But the fact is, in modern society, cash talks. If you're going to bring this person along in your tradition and teach them step by step how to get to the next level, and then the one after that, and the one after that, I say, how dare you charge for that? If you paid for it, I think you're a fool. I put this up on my Facebook page the other day. I will never sell what my elders have given to me, especially knowledge. It's not mine to sell in order for you to advance in this world of labels and titles. I will teach you this little thing that a lot of people on various paths may be interested in learning. And if that's attached to a fee, that's different than me bringing you along the path that I have grown on and charging you for it. Makes sense. Again, we're half an hour into this. We had one person log in for an entire 3 minutes and 40 seconds. Nobody else is here right now. We haven't had any call-ins. But I hope I'm making sense out of this. It makes sense in my head. We all know how that goes. We have our point of view. We have our opinion. We have our position. It makes sense in our own heads. As soon as the mouth opens up, it's blah, blah, blah. And it doesn't make any sense at all. So I apologize if it doesn't make any sense. But it is what it is. That's my opinion. Like I said, if people had showed up, I'd be more than happy to listen to their viewpoints, perhaps change my opinion or at least alter my perspective a bit. But nobody bothered. So that's my thing. If you're providing a class or a service or a product and you want to charge for it, knock yourself out. If you are instructing seekers in your path with the promise of advancement, titles, labels, etc., and you're charging for that, as far as I'm concerned, you are absolutely wrong. And you fall square into the arena of gurus and these rich Christian preachers. That's where you're at. And that's where you're going to stay until somebody can demonstrate to me that my position needs to be changed. All right. We're 35 minutes into this, and I haven't had anybody log in. Nobody's in chat. Nobody's in phone calls. There's no questions. So I guess I'm just ranting today about my position on this thing. I hope you tune in later when this is archived. If you do have a thought, hey, Cedar Woman, one of my all-time favorite people. Welcome. You caught me just as I was going to make an excuse and cut this show short because nobody was here. So the topic of this whole thing is charging for goods and services. We've already dealt with that. If it is a singular service, if it is general goods, go for it. Charge what you need in order to provide for yourself. But if you are training somebody in your path and bringing them along and charging them for that, my God, I don't understand this. Years and years and years ago, and I'm trying not to date myself here, but a long time before many of the people that I talked to were ever born, I was a preacher, Christian preacher, evangelical, yeehaw. I paid for the education because it was a formal education. But once I reached a certain point and I was being taught the specifics of the path that I would be following as a preacher, I didn't pay for that. The investment was my dedication and time. And I didn't do it because somebody was holding that piece of paper over my head that said ordained. I did it because I was dedicated to that path. And they didn't charge me from the end of my formal book education to the ordination. Nobody charged me to follow that path. It was a sign of my dedication to accomplishing that. People who go into the Catholic seminary to become priests, their dedication to that is their investment in it. It wasn't about providing the person bringing them along that path to reach a point of becoming a priest. It wasn't about them putting money in their pocket. Same thing with becoming shaman. You don't become shaman because you took a weekend program on how to be a shaman. You don't become shaman by doing a year-long apprenticeship if you are paying a fee for that apprenticeship throughout the whole thing. If the reward at the end of your path is a label or a title, as far as I'm concerned, my opinion again, it is absolutely wrong for you to be paying for the education you get along that path. Now, each individual piece of information that you learn along that path, if you get it from a particular class, then yeah, if the person is charging $50, $100, $300 for that class and it has that great of value to you, absolutely. Okay, then they are giving you your money's worth and they should be rewarded for that. But you're not going to get that title or that degree or that ordination at the end of that class. And if you do, not only are you getting ripped off, but the person that taught you whatever it was that says, voila, you are now second degree, should be ashamed of themselves. Another example, my friend Dusty White, who wrote The Easiest Way to Learn Tarot Ever and Advanced Tarot Secrets, teaches awesome classes. And there is a fee-based program that you can be a part of, and it puts you in with a lot of other students. It teaches you the ins and outs of reading tarot. And Dusty is fabulous at this, by the way. But alongside that are dozens or hundreds of hours of free programming that you can go through and learn the basic skills and develop your own understanding without investing in it. Now, the thing about learning tarot, or the thing about learning how to, well, since Cedar Woman is here, learning how to make a particular, let's say, a witch bottle in accordance with Southern tradition. You have gained a skill, and there should be something exchanged for you getting that knowledge, that information. But she's not going to hand you a paper that says, congratulations, you now hold the title of witch bottle master and are entitled to now teach it to everybody else, blah, 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 blah. That's not how it works, folks. If you are paying for a title or a degree that is not, it's not fulfilling your enlightenment in that path, then you're dealing with a guru. Again, my position, I'm always willing to listen to other perspectives. My opinion is my opinion, and it is malleable. I'm open to changing my opinion or altering my viewpoint if somebody can make an intelligent argument from their point of view. I think I about beat this dead horse till there's not much left but the hooves. If you, Cedar, or anybody else that listens to this once it's put into archive, if you have comments or questions about this, you can put them on the episode page here on Blog Talk Radio. You can put them on my Facebook page, Stoney's Witchy Place. You can reply to me on Twitter. Give me your comments and thoughts and opinions on these things. Again, I'm not going to take away from the people that are providing these services if they're providing these services. But by gosh, do not pay for path training that ends in a degree or a title. If you are invested, seriously invested in achieving those degrees, a good teacher will be willing to provide that for you. And that's pretty much about all I got. Again, half an hour is too short to get all of my ranting out. An hour seems to be just a little too long, so we're going to try and stay afloat for a few more minutes. Cedar, she is a guest in chat, and she says, I agree with you on this subject. Have never exchanged money, any money for degrees that were bestowed upon me. That's right. You had good teachers, and your investment in earning those degrees was your time and dedication. That was what they received from you in order to get those degrees. Am I understanding that right? I hope I am, because that's how I look at it. Another reason why I don't take one-on-one students anymore, I have not found in many, many, many years now anybody who was willing to go through the training and stay dedicated. That's right. Cedar says, paid in blood, sweat, tears, and dedicated work. And a good teacher, not a guru, but a good teacher will take that payment, and it will mean more to them than any money you could ever pay. If you're all about making the money, you need to go find something else to do. Go offer degrees in Christian psychology or something like that. Stop taking money from these people that are seeking enlightenment, trying to find their path, their connection with the divine. Offer classes. You want to charge for that? Great. Offer products. You want to charge for that? Great. Do not offer titles and advancement and enlightenment in exchange for money. I don't know how else I can say it. I've said it 15 different ways in the last 45 minutes. That's all I can tell you. If you're doing it, you're a guru. And everybody who has been on any kind of spiritual path, especially pagans, for any length of time, knows what being a guru really means. If you're a guru, I've got no use for you, and I'm not going to support what you throw out there. All right? That's all I can say. Yeah, so what? Stoney doesn't like what I do. I don't care. It doesn't have an effect on me. Yeah, maybe, maybe not. But I'm not the only one that feels this way. So you keep doing what you're doing, you'll end up like that guy who offered those sweat lodges and didn't know what the hell he was doing, and now people are dead so that he could make a few thousand dollars. Again, to my author friends and the folks who provided their services and their products, however they may be provided, support these people. They don't make squat. Yeah, plastic shaman. Cedar Woman said these gurus, and I'm sure she's probably familiar with the idiot that killed those people in the sweat lodge because he sweated them to death. They're plastic shamans. And people call me that all the time. Oh, you're a plastic shaman. You know what? You can call me whatever you want to. But I was trained traditionally, not like this guy who took some weekend classes and read a lot of Napoleon Hill. I was brought into my path by what you might call a spiritual or a metaphysical or an otherworldly experience, not because I woke up one day and say, gee, I really need to make some money. How can I do it? And the services that I provide to the people that I've worked with over the years have never, ever been charged for in a dollar amount. This goes way back to probably the 70s at least. Yeah, I remember hearing it in the late 70s. if you are taking instruction in a path, not instruction in how to make a witch bottle, or instruction on how to meditate, or instruction on how to use a poppet, but instruction in a path or a tradition, and you're paying for it, you should run away. I've heard this for 40 years now. Do not pay for enlightenment. You can pay for bits of knowledge here and there. You can pay for products here and there if they fit into the pathwork that you're doing. Do not pay for enlightenment. Do not pay for that title, that piece of paper that says you are now the Grand Plastic Poobah Shaman Guru. Don't do it. It's a ripoff, and the people that are doing it know it's a ripoff. I don't know what else to tell you about it, folks. You've heard my position for the last 50 minutes. Absolutely, Cedar. We'll never pay for it. The vast majority of the things that I do spend any kind of money on are to directly support the person providing that good or service, because I'm invested in that person's well-being, not because, oh, I want this or I want that, or this is cool or that is neat. I've seen some great products out there from people that I have absolutely zero personal investment in, and I've seen some okay products from somebody that I do have personal investment in their well-being. I will buy that second product, because I am personally invested in the person's well-being that provided that product instead of the person who did the better job marketing it. That's my thing. Well, we've got, 10.5 minutes to go? And, boy, I was really hoping that this new talk format was going to take off and I wouldn't end up drowning like I usually do. But here we are. We've got 10 minutes to go and I'm hanging on to my life preserver. Cedar Woman, you've done many workshops but never charged for them. Had those that came bring their own supplies to learn hands-on how to make it. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I have done classes at my local stores, and I've done classes one-on-one, well, not one-on-one, but, you know, personal classes where we're just sitting around the room talking about the product or the knowledge base. I'm not charging for that. If we're making something and I am not able to provide those supplies, there's no reason why those people can't bring their own portion of the supplies in order to learn. But why am I going to charge you for that? It was knowledge. It was knowledge passed on to me by my elders, by experience, by, you know, the great mystery, things that just came into my head that have worked for me for decades while I'm out in the forest and I pass this along. It's not mine to sell. And I hope anybody that's listening hears that very clearly. The knowledge that I have gained from my elders, from spirit, from experience, is not mine to sell. I really hope people get that, grasp that concept. Well, I think that's about all I can do. I mean, I've beat this horse until there's nothing left but the hooves. And I think I've pounded on it to the point where the hooves are right down to, I think we're talking about puddles of glue now. Cedar, the same goes for pipe ceremonies and sweats. Never pay. Absolutely not. Absolutely. You are so right. My pipe is not supported by people giving me money. My pipe is supported by people's investment in the belief that spirit is going to come forth and do what it needs to do on their behalf. That's why I do it, because somebody gave me money. I realize we've gone beyond the tribal culture And I realize that we are no longer dependent on our friends and neighbors around us for our daily life needs. I realize that. That's the way of modern society. But there are limits. There are limits. If somebody is promising you a title, a label, a degree on a particular path of enlightenment because they know that that path speaks to you and they want to charge you for it, run the other way. Find another resource in order to learn what it is you think that you really need to learn. And I think with 6 minutes to go, I think we're going to wrap this up. Cedar Woman, you are absolutely awesome and wonderful. Thank you so much for being here and participating. You made me think on a couple of points there, and I think maybe since you got here, I was a little bit more clear in my thought process. Thank you for joining me. I hope people listen to this. Feel free to share it. Feel free to let people know that this is a thought process that's out there. Whether you agree with it or not, people need to know what the other side of the story, what the other person's perspective and opinion is. This is how we avoid being willfully ignorant and becoming hateful. If you got a bit different viewpoint than mine, give it to me as a comment after you listen to the archive show. Again, this is Stoney. This is Stoney's Witchy Place on Blog Talk Radio. Thanks for listening. I hope to see you next time. We will do a mid-show probably somewhere between 7 and 10 days. That'll be pre-recorded. The next live show will be on the next new moon. No idea what the topic is yet. I'll let you know before it happens. Thanks for being here. Bless you all. Take care of yourselves. Bye-bye.